in the month of January. All of February, we're going to talk about missions every Sunday, even be talking to you about a new mission that's coming our way. We had a tremendous corporate prayer meeting yesterday at 6:30. We do that once a month, and I'm telling you, there was unity and agreement in prayer, and there was power there. It was just an exceptional time with the Lord as we prayed over our new year and the direction God is taking us. But we're talking about prayer for the month because we believe prayer counts, don't we? Do you believe prayer matters? Do you believe God answers prayer? Do y'all? Oh, I got so much to share. So much to share. I need to stay focused. I'm going to build some bridges from last week to this week, and you'll notice that along the way if you were here last week. And I want to start, I'm just going to read from my Bible. I didn't give the slide to my folks back there in the back. But in Revelation 3:20, Jesus said, it's in the red letter, "Here I am. I stand at the door and knock." By the way, I'm preaching from NIV in 2020. I preached ESV in 2019. Some of you like to follow along with me. Some of it doesn't matter. It's all good. But this year I'll be preaching from NIV. Jesus said, "Here I am." It's more like this. "Here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with you and you with me." Jesus wants to visit you. In the South, we call it visit. Let's go visit. Now, if you don't know Christ this morning, I've got a pretty good idea that He's already knocking at the door of your heart, and He wants to come in and be Lord and Savior of your life. He does. And if you will confess your sin to Him, not everybody else, and invite Him in, He can be Lord and Savior of your life. But also for those of us who have been saved 2 days or 40 years, in the context of fellowship, because prayer is fellowship with Him. And that's why our prayer life is so important. Jesus, and I talked about this last week, still initiates our own personal prayer life. And so, Christians, Jesus wants to visit with you on a regular basis. Wasn't it fun over Christmas? Some of y'all had visitors, and you couldn't wait to see them. In our family, we couldn't wait for the only one that doesn't live in town to come home. And he didn't have to knock, he just walked right in. But he was excited to visit, and we were excited to open our doors to Him. Some of you went other places. Listen, if you forget everything I say today, I want you to remember this. Almighty God, Jesus Christ, loves you so much, cares about you so much, desires to fellowship with you so much, that He wants to visit you. And He doesn't necessarily wait for an invitation to come, because He's knocking, and He's knocking this morning at the door of your heart, at the door of your devotional life, at the door of when you're at work. He wants to visit, but this is what He won't do. In order to have fellowship with Him, you have to make the invitation to invite Him in. You didn't say, hey, Jesus, come over to 7524 East Sandia. You didn't have to make that invitation. Jesus is already at the door of 7524 East Sandia Circle, knocking or ringing the doorbell to the Gray household's door. But I have to go to the door. I have to open up the door of my house, of my heart, of my mind. Jesus loves us, and He wants to visit. I couldn't shake the thought all week. You say, well, Pastor, we could teach our first graders that. You sure can. He wants to visit. And if we'll invite Him in, we can be saved, or saved ones. If we invite Him in, we can go in the living room of our heart, and we can, wherever we are, we can lean back in the loving arms of the Father. And that's tangible. That's why prayer is so important and so vital to our relationship with Christ. Isn't it amazing that how many excuses we can make to do something? Am I the only one that does that? Let me see. How many makes excuses not to do something sometime? Well, half of us, and the other half, y'all not telling the truth. What's your excuse? I mean, I made several days of excuses to take those Christmas decorations down outside. Well, the HOA will let me keep them here a little longer. I'll just wait another day. I don't know if any of you are like that. Or my garage needed cleaning. Ladies and gentlemen, men, you know this. The garage is our man cave. It's where we live. But the whole household puts everything in the cave. What if we put everything in their kitchen? I'm just saying, I'm creating a few tensions between men and women here this morning. I mean, they don't understand that after it's been there 33 years, I'm throwing it away. But I put off cleaning my garage because I know I might throw something away I get in trouble for. Or I've heard the lady say, and I've heard Darla say, put off doing the laundry. When the kids were at home, she called it Mount Never Rest. I just thought she never did laundry till I woke up one day and I realized, dang, wonder why Darla does laundry 7 days a week. And there's still laundry there. But I'm sure, ladies, that some of y'all have put that off. Or, you know, it's a new year and we're going to exercise. What is today, the 12th? Is that how many days you've put it off already? What's your excuse? You know, we make excuses for, I'm going to exercise and I'm going to lose weight. Well, you're 12 days in. How many pounds have you gained? Don't answer that question. I know some of these college students, and we've got a lot of college students in college. You made pretty good grades. You're going to make better grades this year, and you're going to study harder. And I think most of you come back this week, and y'all are going to procrastinate all week. I hope you don't. We make excuses for everything. There's a story of a man who bought a Mercedes convertible, which I had a flashback when I had a pretty fast car and a good car. We raced a Mercedes convertible across the reservation through Tuba City. That's another story. I got forgiveness. I'm cleansed in the blood. I won a race, though. He's got the top down. He's going down the road. His hair's blowing back. He's living large and taking charge. He goes 80. He goes 90. He goes 100. He's going 110. And guess what? He looks in the rearview mirror, and what's behind him? Those wonderful blue lights that we love and know so well. How many know what I'm talking about? I knew you could relate to that. How many never had a ticket in this house? You are blessed and highly favored of the Lord. God must be gracious, or you actually follow the law. I don't know which one it is. He sees the lights. He thinks to himself, if you're new here, we like to laugh. Having a joyful experience is part one of our core values. We believe in the joy of the Lord. He thinks to himself, this police car can't catch me. So he just keeps putting the gas down. Those little cars will run 120, 130, 150, and that dude is still right on his bumper. He thinks to himself, I better pull over. That's a novel idea. That boy's going to jail. The officer gets out of the car, walks up to the window, without saying a word, he examines the car. He he paused a little while and he said, "Sir, I've been on three shifts. I've been working for 24 hours. And I'm very, very tired. And this is my last pullover. And I'm very exhausted." He said, "I don't know why you was going out this fast." He said, "I really don't want to fill out all the paperwork." He said, "I'll make you an offer. If you can give me an excuse of why you're going so fast and driving the way you are, because I've heard them all. I'm sure those troopers have heard them all. I've heard them all. But if you can give me one I've never heard in my 27-year career, I'll let you go." The guy looks down and he thinks real quick and he says, "Well, officer, last week my wife ran off with a police officer and I was afraid it was you trying to give her back." The officer said, "Have a nice night." Husband, look to your wife and say, "Have a nice night, honey." I knew that was, I will not be at the door today shaking hands with any ladies, but men, I'll shake your hand. I want to look at a few things, just two things today, actually, that hinder our relationship with Christ as it pertains to prayer. I want to look at some of the difficulties. It's not so much the next few weeks what I want to teach you, and that's important, but I want you to begin to pray like you never have before. I want you to begin to spend time with God like you never before. And I understand being successful in prayer. I understand feeling not so successful with prayer. I get all of that. But I think I want to say a few words about maybe a common scenario is you're ready to pray. You heard the message last week or you've heard it before and you're ready to pray. And for some reason all week you didn't. You might have said, "Hey, Jesus," going out of the door and you feel guilty. You feel like giving up. Or you try and you feel like your prayers are empty, they're not meaningful. And we've all had prayer time where we felt like it was empty and not meaningful. But you felt like, "Well, it's my duty to pray." Well, it's deeper than duty. It's really not duty at all. Jesus is knocking at the door of our heart. And Almighty God just wants to spend time with us. I've asked God from time to time in my life because I felt like it was a duty. I got to get up. I'm not ready to get up. It's too early for me to get up. I haven't had coffee yet, Lord. So you try it. It's empty. You feel like it is. It's meaningless and you feel guilty. You neglect it altogether. More guilt. You feel alienated from God somewhat because of your lack of time, spending time with God, because we got to, I'm really getting to know Justin, my future son-in-law. The more time we spend together, the more we get to know each other. And we're cultivating a great relationship. And that's the way it is with the Lord. But we miss out on that and we start feeling alienated. If you're saved, not unsaved, I'm not challenging your salvation this morning unless you don't know Christ as Savior. My challenge to you this morning is to spend time with Jesus. And that He's initiating every day in your life. He's knocking at the door of your heart. He wants to visit and He wants to come in, but we don't. And you know what sets in? More guilt. Or we come to church and we pray a little bit at the altar. Or we pray for somebody in a ladies' small group or a men's small group. But then we don't pray all week long. More guilt. Everybody say it. More guilt. Because I believe most people that know Christ really have a desire to pray. I just believe that we've probably to some degree, like I have, failed many times, and then we feel guilty many times, and then it's easier not to open the door of our prayer life with God than it's not. So you know what we do? We don't necessarily fall into sinful behavior. We just default to some kind of busy behavior. Maybe it's hobby behavior. And I think everybody needs a hobby or two. I promote it. I teach it. We need time to refresh, refocus, relax, enjoy life. And some of y'all know what some of my hobbies are. I'm not just saying, you know, I don't know if you could guess what that is. But my point is this morning, in the regards to prayer, we have good intentions. I really believe this. Because I know dozens of times in my life over the years, I had really good intentions. I had good intentions to pray. I had good intentions to clean the garage. You hear what I'm saying? I had good intentions, but I didn't get it done. Why? Why do we fail to put in practice what we believe about prayer? In the next 2 weeks, I'm going to make, it's a two-point message 2 weeks in a row. You said, yeah, Pastor, but your introduction is already a whole sermon. We're going to have a prayer seminar this morning. I know that makes you uncomfortable because you think on Sunday morning all you got to do is come and sit. When I'm sitting in the crowd, I go, oh, gosh, he's going to make us do something. Some of y'all thought that. Looked to your neighbor and said, did you think something like that? I saw some of you nodding. I've had that thought many times. I'm just extremely, you know, you go to a minister's meeting and I like listening. And I take a lot of notes. I'm a note taker. But then they want us to interact and practice. Oh, gosh, it's just easier to go to the restroom or something. I'm going to give you a 1 to 2 minute lesson on how to pray. And we're going to do it together. The Lord is knocking at the door of your heart. He knows you because He created you in your mother's womb. He loves you so much, He wants you to know Him. I'm not going to get legalistic with this challenge. Start with 2 minutes a day or 2 hours a day or anywhere in between. But make an appointment with Almighty God. And when He comes knocking, and He will every day, invite Him in. Okay, I'm going to get you to stand with me. I know you get a little exercise when you come to church. If you are elderly, and it's hard for you to stand, don't worry about that. I get it. Okay. Show me the first slide. We're really just going to take a minute or two. I've taught this all my life. There are all kinds of prayer patterns, dozens of prayer patterns that will help you pray. ACTS, say Acts. Do you, everybody here know there's a book of Acts? So you go, what was that prayer pattern? Acts. Acts. And it stands for a time of adoration, confession, thanksgiving, and supplication. Adoration, confession, thanksgiving, and supplication. Next slide. So when you go to your, when Jesus comes knocking tonight or in the morning, open the door and spend, you can spend 10 seconds. You could spend 2 hours. Let the Holy Spirit, you and, look, when Jesus comes in to visit, you and Him work that out. You and Him determine how long your visit's going to be. Don't let your pastor determine that for you. Right? Okay. So you adore Him. It's just something. I love you, Lord. Thanks for coming. You're welcome in my house. I care about you. Jesus, I love you. Just express adoration and love to Him like you would others. Now watch this. Here's where it gets a little dicey. Let's do it. Are you ready? I'm going to do it just for a few seconds. I'm going to adore Him from my heart to the best of my ability in a crowd of people. but for a few seconds, can everybody talk in this room? Darla, I love you. Darla, I'm thinking that I love her. You don't have to be loud. You can be loud as you want, but you got to talk. We got to learn to talk to Jesus. You can whisper if you want. I know some. I'm bold, shout. Some are quiet. Here we go. Let's adore Him. Lord, I just adore You this morning. You're my Savior and my God. I love You. I know You first loved me. I welcome You here this morning in my heart. I welcome You to my home. You've been so good to me, Lord. I love You and adore You. Praise You. I praise You this morning, Jesus. I love You this morning, Jesus. Amen. Now, you turn it off when you want it. Today we're just learning. But you could, that adoration can go an hour, 15 minutes, 2 minutes. Your visit with Jesus is up to you. Start with adoration, then confession. We know what that is. The scripture said if you confess your sins, He's faithful and just to forgive you of your sins. I practice it every day. Every day because I need to. Now, we can be real general. Swear that your neighbor doesn't hear your sins. Although there's times for public confession according to the Word. But let's do that. Has everybody here fallen short of the glory of God? Has almost at least everybody here this week made some sort of mistake and got in the flesh? Confession to me is like taking a daily shower. Just stay focused. I had a thought. Let's practice confession together. I think, when's the last time you took a shower, son? Sometimes that's the way it is with confession, and all this guilt and dirt and yuck builds up in our heart and our spirit. It doesn't go away till we confess it. But when we do, Jesus forgives us and cleanses us. So let's practice it. Lord, I know I fall short on a regular basis, and You and I met this morning, and I confess, but again, before the wonderful flock and family that You've given me to shepherd, I confess my shortcomings. I confess thoughts sometimes that I shouldn't have. But Lord, I'm asking You today, as I've confessed my faults and my flaws, I'm still flawed in so many ways, but I just confess it to You, Lord, and I'm asking You, Jesus, to wash me and forgive me and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Amen. And so you practice, you can, but be specific with God. Be specific. And then thanksgiving. ACTS. Does everybody here have at least something to be thankful for? I've found out when I visit with people or Jesus, if I let them know how much I appreciate them and how much I am thankful for them, that we become closer. So let's just be thankful. And look, you have to open your mouth. There's still some of you like this. So whisper like this. Let's be thankful. You got anything to be thankful for? Then thank Him right now. Let's do it. Lord, I could just come in. I'm leaning back in Your arms. I'm in the living room of Your presence. We've invited You in, and I'm so thankful that You were knocking. I'm so thankful You never quit knocking. You never give up. Even when I don't deserve to have You as my guest, You're out there ringing the doorbell. I'm thankful for Your kindness. I'm thankful for Your patience. I'm thankful for Your goodness. I'm thankful for Your love. I'm thankful for Your provision in my life. I'm thankful for my wife. I'm thankful for my children. I'm thankful for my church. Dear Jesus, I'm just thankful, and I love You this morning. And then S is supplication. That's the prayer list. It's whatever. Who are you praying for? Are you praying for a job? Are you praying for favor? Are you praying for a family member? The supplication part is the prayer list. You tell somebody you'll pray for them, put them on a list when you get to that part of your prayer. But, you know, most of the time, if we're not careful, we spend the entire time on the prayer list and we never get to the other. Can I get a witness on that? And I would suggest it doesn't matter where you put it. This is just helpful. But God wants our list. Aren't you glad for that? He wants us to bring every need to Him in prayer. The term is supplication, so it helps us memorize. So does everybody here have a need or know somebody that does this morning? Let's offer it up to God. So Lord, today there's so many needs. Lord, right now I'm holding my sister before you that lives in Georgia, and you know the needs of that family, and I'm holding her before you and intervening for her. Lord, I'm also praying for our businesses next door, that when people drive on the parking lot, Lord, they'd feel the peace of Jesus and the love of Jesus, and that those businesses would prosper. Lord, I pray for my advisory council. Lord, I pray for my staff. Lord, I pray for my flock. And when I'm praying, I list names out. You got it? Did you give God some needs? I sense His presence. Let's give the Lord a hand. You can have a seat. See, a couple of things that separate us, and now I must hurry. I think applications are important. Exhortation is important. Application is important. Take that home. Begin tonight. Begin this afternoon. Begin, and I'll tell you, if you'll do that for 30 days, your relationship, your intimacy with Christ, you will feel and sense and know an increase as you fellowship with Him. And as I mentioned this last week, and I touched on it, and I'm going to touch on it again. Number one, sin and disobedience can separate us from God. I'm not talking about your salvation. Our relationship with God depends on birth. I ask Christ in, I'm born again. I'm saved. His grace is sufficient. I'm justified before God because He paid the price for me. Can I get an amen? So that's not what I'm talking about in this context. I'm not talking, I read a book one time that said, if you don't pray, you're not saved. I didn't agree with one page of it. Okay, so stay balanced with me here. I am a Christian and a son of God because I sincerely invited Jesus Christ into my heart. I'm a child of God. Can I get an amen? But our fellowship with Christ, or the quality of our relationship, depends on our behaviors or misbehaviors. And you can find dozens of scriptures. I'm going to give you a few today. That's why when we're not living the way we should, we do feel alienated from God. And I'm not questioning your salvation. It takes a long time. But you are driving a wedge between you and Jesus as far as it pertains to relationship and intimacy with God. John 14:21. Here we go, Stephen. One verse. Jesus said, whoever has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me. The one who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love them. And watch this promise. And show myself to them. So, amen. So we see this cycle. When we're in prayer, we're in relationship with Jesus, we see a cycle. I love Him. Because I love Him, I obey Him. I obey His Word. My belief system lines up with my behavior system. That's a lifelong process. But I love Him. I obey Him. I obey His Word. And when we do that, Jesus has a tendency always to reveal Himself in a more intimate way as it pertains to our relationship. And as He reveals Himself to me, I become deeper in love with Him. Somebody give me an amen on that. But when I disobey God, or the Holy Spirit begins to deal with things in my life, and we can only deal with it as we know when to deal with it. We hear it in a message. We're reading it in our devotions. The Holy Spirit pricks our heart. But when we know what we're supposed to do and not do, the Scripture calls it sin. And sin will always, not a sin, not even many sins, because we can get constant forgiveness. I want you to stay balanced with me. But it will alienate my relationship somewhat with God. That intimacy that I'm talking about. So where love and obedience for Christ creates more relationship with Christ, more knowledge of Christ, more knowing who He is in relationship, my disobedience puts a wedge. It puts a wedge in. Then again, when we sense that, the Holy Spirit will show up and He continues to convict because He's merciful, loving, kind, and patient. Aren't you glad the Lord didn't give up on you after you didn't yield the first time? I'm speaking for myself. And see, He keeps knocking. He keeps coming. He still wants to visit. But if I don't let Him in, I get further and further and further away from God. And then so the Holy Spirit convicts me. The enemy begins to hammer me. Oh, you're no good. You won't deal with this. Your Jesus doesn't love you. You never let Him in. And then guilt sets in, which was never the intent of Jesus in the first place. He loves you. He wants to cleanse you. He wants to fellowship with you. He wants to heal your heart. He wants you to lean back into His arms. He knows you. He wants you to know Him. Let's don't let sin and garbage separate us from that intimate relationship with Jesus. Proverbs 28 and 9 says this, and we're going to hit a few pretty quick. If anyone turns a deaf ear to my instruction, even their prayers are detestable. Psalm 66 and 18 said, if I had cherished sin in my heart, the Lord would not have listened. There's other scriptures like that. It's like this. Now, I was going to say something funny, but I don't want to right now. 2 Chronicles 7 and 11. I'm going to read through verse 20. When Solomon had finished the temple of the Lord in the royal palace, and he succeeded in carrying out all that he had in mind to do in the temple of the Lord and in his own palace, the Lord appeared to him at night and said, I've heard your prayer, and I've chosen this place for myself as a temple for sacrifices. See, he heard Solomon's prayers. Solomon asked the right prayers. You can go back and read that part. And God listened and heard. The Lord said, when I shut up the heavens so that there's no rain, or command locusts to devour the land or send a plague among my people. In this famous verse, if you've been saved for a while, everybody knows this verse. If my people, say if my people. Say, Lord, I'm your people. Who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from my wicked ways. Then I will hear from heaven. Oh, the promise is so good. It's just what I've been talking about. And I will forgive their sin. And I will heal their land. Now my eyes will be open. This is the Lord speaking. And my ears attentive to the prayers offered in this place. I've chosen and consecrated this temple so that my name may be there forever. My eyes and my heart will always be there. As for you, if you walk before me faithfully, as David your father did, and do all I command. Here's the Old Testament confirming the New Testament and vice versa. And do all my command and observe my decrees and laws. I will establish you. How many want to be established today? Make sure you keep your relationship with God paramount. I will establish your royal throne as I covenanted with David your father when I said, you shall never fail to have a successor to rule over Israel. But if you turn away, knock, knock. Knock, knock. But if you turn away and forsake the decrees and commands I've given you and go off to serve other gods and worship them, then I will uproot Israel from my land which I've given them and will reject this temple I have consecrated for your name. I tell you, Solomon's prayers had been heard, and then the Lord is giving him some principles here. Actually, the principles we've been talking about in the New Testament, in the Old Testament, and I just want to touch on them just a little bit. Look, Jesus has been so good to us, hasn't he? If you're saved and you know the forgiveness of sins, there's nothing like it. It's still the main thing. Knowing you're going to heaven, knowing you're forgiven. You know, this morning in 30 minutes of singing, the singing worship time, there was such a sweet, powerful manifestation of the love of the Holy Spirit. Whether you understood that or not today, wasn't it wonderful to know the peace of God for those moments? You see, Solomon knew what it was to be in the presence of God and answer those, hear those prayers. Look, I don't want anything to become between me and Jesus. Do you? So we see some principles here. Some of the conditions is humility. We can come boldly, the scripture says, Hebrews 3, but we have to come humble. Can I explain humility to you in 5 seconds? I need Jesus every day. And my behavior lines up with that statement. James said in the book of James that God, again, resists the proud, gives grace to the humble. So we need humility. And if we don't have humility and you want it, Jesus will work that out in your life. And pride pops up from time to time. We know that. And he said, if you'll seek my face, it says, see, look. Here's, and I'm going to hit this quick. We need to learn how to seek God's face in prayer, not just God's hand in prayer. It didn't say to seek his hand. Now, for some of us that's been around a while, I think we know what that means, but I'm sure not all of us know what that means. It's not just when he knocks, we invite him in and we ask him, we take our list to him, we seek his face. It's for those that seek his face. How do I seek his face, Pastor? Teach me something practical. All I've ever been taught is to seek his hand. In other words, what we can get from him. Oh, come on in, Jesus. I'm glad you're here. I need this. I need a new job. I need this. I need that. 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 Bye, Jesus. Got to go to work. Even if your children did that to you. We got to learn to seek his face. The promises, greater promises are for those that seek his face. How do you seek his face? Adoration, confession, and thanksgiving. Because it's all about him. Y'all got that? Then S is over here. Now I can, the scripture says I can ask him for anything I want. But we got to learn to seek his face first. Hallelujah. And then, of course, if we have unconfessed sin in our life, say unconfessed. Look, the Bible teaches confession. Don't just say, well, I know God forgives. Not if you don't confess. Now, I know that could stir a little of you, but why not confess? He said it here. Confess your how many here this morning has unconfessed sin in their life? Don't raise your hand. Go home. Do it while I'm preaching. Because he's promised to forgive us. He's promised to forgive us. He's promised not to hold it against us. If we're sincerely confessing our shortcomings and faults, guess what happens? I get closer to God, not further and further away from God. But unconfessed sin means I haven't opened the door. Maybe I feel guilty, not good enough. We are guilty. We're not good enough, But Jesus is good enough. His grace is good enough. And you may have been bad to the bone this week or last week. He's here this morning ringing the doorbell of your heart again because he loves you. loves you. He died at the cross for you. He rose from the grave for you. He's at the right hand of the Father this morning interceding for you. He's on your team. He's the captain of your team. And if you'll open the door of your heart, you'd tell Him how bad you are. He already knew it. He needs you to tell Him. Not because He didn't know it. You need to say it. And when you do, He washes you, cleanses you, heals your broken heart, heals your diseases, sets you captive from addictions and all that garbage. And guess what happens? That's not the biggest reward. Although all those things are wonderful, to know you're clean, to know you're free, to know you're forgiven, it's wonderful. Say wonderful. It's still not the best thing. The best thing is when I do, I'm closer to Him. And I know it. I know it deep in my bones and deep in my heart. I'm in closer relationship with my Jesus. And that's a greater reward. Give the Lord a hand. So this morning, and I want the worship team to come. I want to move the communion table out. Isn't Jesus good? Oh, the beauty of corporate worship. As we were unified in singing and worshiping this morning, you could sense tangibly what I'm teaching you this morning. Collectively as a group. He wants us to have that as individuals. He wants us. He knows us. He wants us to know Him. Prayer. So the worship team comes and the guys come, and I'm going to come down to the floor. If you all come ahead and come to the table, I'll meet you down there. Thank you, Jesus. 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 Thank you, Lord. I'm going to give them the elements and just speak a little while they're handing out the elements.